Well, amen. Great singing this morning. What a privilege it is to come in and be able to sing those songs unto the Lord. Will you join with me in turning in your copy of God's Word to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. If you did not bring your Bible this morning, let me invite you to look around underneath a seat around you, and there should be somewhere there a Bible, and you can turn to page 839, and that will be where we will be today. Mark chapter 4. We will begin in verse 21 in just a minute. Now, when we get to Mark chapter 4, we have come to a section that is filled with the parables that Jesus spoke. And so for the last 2 weeks, we've been covering the parables of the soils, which Jesus used to teach about the heart condition in receiving the gospel, in receiving the truths of the kingdom of God. And so as we move to verse 21, Mark continues to give these parables that Jesus used in order to teach on the kingdom. And so for the next couple of weeks, we're going to examine these kingdom truths that are found in these parables here in Mark chapter 4. So follow along as I read this morning, beginning in Mark chapter 4, verse 21. Mark chapter 4, verse 21. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." So quickly, let's move to the first truth this morning. The first kingdom truth that Jesus teaches is this. Number one, the kingdom of God is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus asks a question about the purpose of a lamp. And when a lamp is brought into a house, it is to cast light onto the darkness so that everything in the house can be seen. And so the obvious answer to Jesus' question is no. A lamp is not brought into a house in order to hide the light under a basket. It's not brought into a house to be put under the bed. It's brought into a house to be put on a stand so that it can fulfill its purpose, the purpose of illuminating and revealing what has been hidden by the dark. Then Jesus begins verse 22 with four. So he's assuming that the crowd's going to get the obvious answer to his question, and so he's going to give the reason. And so at first it seems sort of contradictory and unrelated what he's talking about. However, remember that Jesus is using, because he's using a parable, everyday objects to teach truths about the kingdom of God. And so don't try to put this in making sense in what specifically he's saying. He's using this as an example to teach you kingdom truth. So with that, look again at verse 22. He says, "For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." Now, we hide things in order to keep them secret. That's what you and I do. If there is something that you don't want someone to know about, we hide it. And so we don't want it to be discovered. We hide things so that they will not be discovered. But even though Jesus uses the word secret, he's not talking about secrets here. He's giving truths of the kingdom of God. So what is he saying? Well, a lamp is brought into a house and is set up on a stand so it will reveal or make manifest the things that are hidden in the darkness. Those things that are in the secret because of the darkness. So the desire is that the things made secret by the absence of light, they will come to light when the lamp is turned on. So Jesus is speaking to his purpose as the Messiah. He is the light that reveals what is secret because of the darkness. Look at John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Like a lamp that reveals what is secret in the darkness, So Jesus reveals the kingdom of God to those who are in the darkness of sin. It is sin that darkens the eyes of man, that darkens the heart of man, so the kingdom cannot be seen. His nature, his sinful nature, his depraved nature keeps him from seeing the kingdom of God, from understanding the kingdom of God. Look at Psalm 82:5 as the psalmist describes the wicked. He says they have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. Romans chapter 1 verse 21, where Paul is speaking about the unrighteous. He says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 7. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. So man's sinful nature darkens his understanding and his ability to see the truths of God's kingdom. But it's actually worse than that. Our sin, the sin of man, causes us to run from the light. When the light comes, we run. Look at John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his works should be exposed. People who love the darkness hate the light. When Jesus bore the wrath of God on the cross, he was revealing the righteous glory of God, but it also revealed the complete unrighteousness of man. Jesus, the glory of God, the light of the world, reveals the sin of man, and man runs from the light. When God poured out his wrath on Jesus, what he was showing was his righteousness and what his righteousness meant for those who have sinned. And so Jesus' death on the cross says, your sin is so bad it necessitates the wrath of God, but I am taking the wrath of God in your place. And when the light comes, we scatter like cockroaches when the kitchen light comes on. Man runs to the darkness. He loves the darkness rather than the light. Sinful man wants the lamp to be under the basket. We want the lamp to be pushed under the bed. We don't like it shining into our life. This is why when you try and explain to others what you believe or why you do the things that you do or don't do the things that you do, that it makes no sense to them. Why would you not do that? What is this Jesus that you're talking about, this heaven that you're talking about? They don't understand because the truths of the kingdom are rejected, because their eyes are darkened. Their heart is darkened by the depravity of their sinfulness. They need light. They need light. They need a lamp lifted up on a stand to shed light on the things that cannot be seen in the dark. And Jesus is saying in this parable that he is the light that reveals the kingdom of God to man. You ever got new furniture in your bedroom? That is the hardest thing to get used to. Because think about it. You really are never in your bedroom when it's light. Most of the time that you spend in your bedroom, it's dark. And so you get new furniture in your bedroom, things are moved around, you're not used to it, and inevitably at night, what do? Stub your toe, man. That is the worst. There is no worse pain than stubbing your toe. Stacy and I got a new bed frame, and our old bed frame did not have a footboard. And so this new bed frame has a footboard. And so we put it up, it looked nice, all that was really good. Except at night, there is evil intent on the footboard of this new bed frame. And so I will be coming back to bed at night, and that thing jumps out, and it hits me right in the thigh. And it's like sharp corners, right? And so I got these bruises. So after about 4 or 5 or 6 of these bruises on my thigh, I finally learned, right, that when you're coming back to bed at night, you need to avoid the bed as best you can. The evil intent of that bed was hidden in the darkness. I needed some light to shed light on what was secret in the darkness so that I would not have sores and bruises on my thigh. See, the purpose of light is to reveal those things that are hidden. You know, a more literal translation of Mark chapter 4, verse 21 would be, does the lamp come in? Not brought in, but come in. Jesus here is pointing to his coming as the Messiah, as the light of the world to reveal the kingdom to man. And he did so through his teachings, but ultimately through his sacrificial death and resurrection. So we have the teachings of Jesus, and he is telling us about the kingdom, and he is revealing kingdom truths. But the ultimate revelation of the kingdom of God is found in the death and burial and resurrection, the crucifixion and the burial and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is found in the cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 says this, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel in the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,'" talking about creation, "has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God." Where? Where is the light found? Where is the light of the glory of God found? In the face of Jesus Christ. The light that Jesus shone was the glory of God. We just sang about the beauty of the glory of God. And the glory of God is seen most brightly in the sacrifice of Christ for the sins of man. This is why he says the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Jesus, God's revelation of himself to man. He came, he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom through his teachings, and he revealed the glory of God through his sacrificial death and his resurrection. Without the person and the work of Christ, there is no hope of entrance into the kingdom of God or of understanding its truths. You will never know God, you will never know about his kingdom. You will never fully understand the truths of the kingdom of God apart from the person and the work of Jesus Christ. It is in Jesus that the kingdom of God is revealed to man. If you do not accept Jesus, then you cannot accept the truths of God's kingdom that he gives to you. You will remain in the dark, and his teachings will have no true impact on your life. Yes, you may see moral relevance into the teachings of the Bible. However, there's no eternal relevance in what you hear preached in his word. When you hear the gospel, when you hear what God says about how you are to live your life, it's all moral do's and don'ts. There's no eternal relevance apart from Jesus Christ. If you reject Jesus, the context of biblical truth shifts from an eternal worship of God to a temporary doing of right and wrong. One is for the glory of God. The other is for the glory of self. However, the good news is that Jesus not only reveals the sin that separates you from God, but he also reveals the grace and the forgiveness that is available to you so you can have a relationship with God. When Jesus died on the cross, he was not dying for his own sin. He was not dying for his own unrighteousness. He was dying for your sin and for your unrighteousness. He was taking the punishment of God's wrath that you deserved. And the Bible says if you will put your full trust in Jesus, if you will ask him to forgive you, then God will wipe away your sin and he will replace your sin with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that is how you gain entrance into the kingdom of God. So if there are those that are lost in the darkness, unless Jesus and his crucifixion and resurrection are proclaimed, unless the gospel is shown, unless the light is put up on the stand, then there is no hope of the world ever knowing the truths of God's kingdom. Faith Family, as keeper, keepers of God's light, it is our privilege to boldly shine the light of Jesus in the world. The gospel is not going to declare itself. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." What a great promise that we have. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But watch, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching, without someone proclaiming, without someone shining the light? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, the gospel. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, "Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. If we want them to put their faith in the gospel, in the person of Christ, they have to hear the word of Christ. The word of Christ is the gospel. And we, as a body of believers, as those who confess Christ, must proclaim it and keep proclaiming it and keep proclaiming it. It doesn't matter what the laws of the land may eventually tell us. We have to proclaim the gospel. It doesn't matter how dangerous the places of darkness are. We must proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how intimidating they are. We must take the light and set it on the stand so it shines into the darkness. You hear people say, "Live the gospel and then speak if necessary." No, absolutely not. Those living in the darkness are never going to decode your actions and get to the heart of the gospel. We have to specifically point them with our words and with our actions to the person and the work of Jesus on the cross in order for there to be any hope of entrance into the kingdom. Yes, speak the gospel. Live it because you actually believe what you say. Declare it and then live it because you believe what you declare. Faith family, we have to lift up Jesus Christ in our community. We have many ways to do that. Let me encourage you this morning as you leave to go back to that back table and grab those invite cards. It's an opportunity for you to very easily begin a conversation about church, which can then lead to a conversation about the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Be bold in your proclamation of the gospel. Your neighbors have absolutely no hope of entering the kingdom of God, of understanding the great truths that you cling to and claim to as your hope for life, apart from you proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. They are not going to look at your well-manicured yard and the way that you treat your dog and come to the conclusion that the only way into the kingdom of God is through Jesus Christ. The only way that they are going to come to that conclusion is if someone will reach out and tell them Jesus is the only way. This afternoon, we're going to have overflow. That's in the afternoon when we come back here and we go out into our neighborhoods, out into our community, and we are knocking on doors, not because we want to interrupt their nap or interrupt their football game, but because the gospel is more important than getting a nap or watching a football game. We go out to specifically tell them about Jesus Christ. Hi, we're from Faith Family, and our greatest concern in your life is, do you have a relationship with the one true God? Are you going into the kingdom of God? Are you in the kingdom of God? And if they say no, then we want to tell them. Listen, they're not going to drive by and read the red letters on the sign. They're not going to see us coming in and out of this place and come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is the only way to find salvation. The only way that Kingwood and Porter and Humble and New Caney and all of the places around us are going to know for sure that Jesus Christ is the only way is if we, you and I, as Faith Family Baptist Church members, those who say we proclaim Christ as Lord and He's the only way, if we get out of this place and we go to the doors and knock on the doors and tell them that Jesus is the only way. We have to proclaim the gospel. That is the only way that we will transform hearts and lives that have been darkened by sin. There's a second truth that Jesus gives in these verses. He says, kingdom growth occurs in proportion to the application of kingdom truths. kingdom growth occurs in proportion to the application of kingdom truths. Look again at verse 23. Jesus says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. At the end of his parable about the lamp, Jesus again tells them to be sure that they pay attention to what he is saying. And though it was inferred up in verse 9, here Jesus emphasizes again that they are not just to hear what is being taught, but they are to take what he is teaching and they are to apply it to their lives. This is what he's talking about in verse 24. Pay attention to what I'm saying, because if you apply it to your life, then you're going to get more. And this is important because it sets the context for the harder saying in verse 25, where Jesus gives them this principle of the kingdom of God. He says, in the kingdom, the one who has gets more. However, the opposite is also true. If you do not have, then what you do have will be taken. Well, what in the world is he talking about there? Now, remember the context, or you're going to totally miss what he's talking about. Hearing and applying the truths of the kingdom is what he is talking about. So, for those who hear Jesus' teachings about the kingdom and they apply them to their lives, they will receive more truths about the kingdom. However, for those who hear Jesus' teachings, yet they do nothing with them, they reject those teachings, then even those teachings that they have at that moment will be taken from them. These verses really parallel verses 10 and 12 of chapter 4 that we studied a couple weeks ago. So let me read verse 10 again, and it says of chapter 4, and when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. He just gave the parables of the souls. And he said to them, to you has been given the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and they may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. See, those who listen with an open heart towards Christ, they will be able to truly hear the good news of the gospel and find salvation. However, those with a hard heart reject Christ and also reject the kingdom. We talked about the Pharisees, the scribes. The reason that they couldn't understand and receive the parables and receive the seed of the word was because they were hard-hearted towards Jesus. And so there's parallel here. In verses 24 and 25, he's expanding on this concept. Those who reject Christ are not going to apply his teachings to their life. So they lose even the truth he gives them through his teaching. Those who accept Christ will apply his truth. Therefore, they will receive more truth. We see this same concept in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. So Proverbs is giving a fairly universal truth about receiving instruction. When a wise person is given instruction, even when that instruction is correction, even when it may sting a little bit, because they're wise, they receive it, and therefore they gain more wisdom in the receiving of the instruction. However, the opposite is true of a scoffer. Now, a scoffer is someone who is always disagreeable. They jeer at those who have contrary views to what they want to hear. They treat them with contempt. So when you instruct or correct the scoffer, they reject what you say, and therefore they don't gain any understanding. They actually lose the wisdom and instruction offered them by the person that they mock. Let me try to illustrate it this way. If you have a disease and you go to the doctor and they say you're going to die in 6 months, right? You hear what the doctor's saying and he says, but I have some medicine for you. I'm going to give you these pills. If you will take these pills, then you will not die. Well, in that moment, you have to make a choice. You're either going to accept or reject those pills. Now, if the pills actually could cure you, but you don't believe the doctor in what he's saying, then you're probably going to hand those pills back to the doctor. In your hand, you had the cure. You had everything you needed in order to be cured of your disease. But because you reject the doctor, you don't believe him, you say no to those pills. When you hand it back, you don't gain anything and you actually lose the cure that you had in your hand. You possessed it. However, because you did not believe the doctor and did not listen to him, the cure you possessed at one point was lost. However, what if you accept the doctor's opinion and you accept the pills? You take them and you begin to be healed. And when you run out of pills, you go back and he refills your prescription and you get more pills to eventually you get to the point where you are cured of your disease. Listen, faith family, how you respond to Jesus day by day is important. It isn't about coming in on a Sunday morning and just saying, man, I love being around these people and I hear the teachings and I'm so encouraged. I cannot wait till next Sunday. No, how you respond to Jesus day by day, what you do with the teachings that you receive is very important. He taught the very truths of God's kingdom that reflect the glory of God that you have confessed allegiance to. And if you reject those truths, then you are rejecting Christ, and therefore you are rejecting God. And if you continually reject those truths, then they will be taken from you, demonstrating that you never really had them in the first place or never really accepted them fully in the first place. But remember, the opposite is also true. Jesus says, by the measure you use them, they will be measured to you. As you hear the truths of God's word being declared and you seek to apply those to your life, then guess what? You will gain more truth. You will gain more truth. What you gain is in proportion to how you apply what you have already been given. So you go to your Bible study class and you receive the truth of God's word and his kingdom. You come in here and God declares to you the truth of his kingdom. It's not so you can grow in knowledge only. It is so that you can gain knowledge and apply that knowledge to your life, so that when you step out of here and walk out of these doors, you are living in a manner that reflects the gospel of Jesus Christ, that declares his glory, that is best for you, by the way, and brings the most glory to God. Listen, if you've been saved for only a short period of time, I know that it can be discouraging sometimes. We talk about deep things or you struggle with things. You read in the Bible and you're like, I see that, but I struggle to continue to learn and push forward. Listen, don't get discouraged. Take what you have and apply it. There are people who say, listen, I don't want to come to Overflow because I've never shared the gospel before. I don't know how to do that. Well, good news for you today, we have training at 1:30. All right, but that's not why I said that. You know what? If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then just use what you have. You don't have to know what propitiation means. You don't have to know what transubstantiation means and defend why that is not right. You don't have to know all these $4 words. You know what you have to know? You have to know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he raised from the grave, and if you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, giving him your life, then you can be saved. And you can tell anybody that. You can give them your testimony. Take the truths that you have and apply them. When you come to God's word and you read something you don't understand and it's complicated for you, pray about that. But don't fret over it. When you come across verses that are plain and very clear, then receive those, take those, and apply it to your life. And what you will begin to find is that as you apply those things to your life, and as you begin to use them in your life, you will begin to understand them more, and they will be the foundation by which you begin to receive and understand more truth. And you will grow, and you will grow, and you will grow, till eventually Christ comes and he takes us back, and we're glorified, and we're in heaven with him. And that's that part of that process: salvation, sanctification, glorification. But in the middle, you've got to devour God's word and then apply what you have. Listen, if you feel stagnant in your spiritual growth, and you feel like you've just sort of hit a plateau, you know, part of that may be that you're not applying the truths that you do know. You know, sometimes we, even as leaders in the church, we can become very prideful. And as I study God's word and I think about all the things that I went through in seminary and all the things that I learned, if I'm not careful, I can begin to have this attitude of, I've got this, I've got this. That's a very dangerous place to be, because I do not have this by any stretch of the imagination. And so when we come to God's word, there has to be this sense of, even in my life, taking what I am learning and applying it, because even your pastor can become plateaued. It may be that you're just not applying what God has already given you. Think about that. Search your heart. Search your life. Pray that the Spirit would reveal these things to you, so that when you are in your time with God, he is saying, here is a truth that you know. Here is a truth that you have and that you are aware of, but you are not applying it to your life. You're not living it out. And begin to do that. And begin to be obedient to the word of God, and watch what God does. Watch and see if your obedience to the things that you know don't become the catalyst to now more new truths and continued growth in your life. Listen, Dad, don't expect your family to grow in the Lord if you're not leading them to apply God's word, both in what you say and, by the way, what you do. You know that by the droves, our youth are graduating from high school, going to college, and abandoning the church. And you know what they say? Yeah, I came to church. Yeah, we talked about the Bible. Yeah, we said that Jesus was Lord, but we never lived it in our family. Listen, Dad, you got to apply God's word to your life in front of your family, in front of your kids. You've got to teach them and hold them accountable and encourage them to apply the truths of God's word to their life. Listen, this is why we try and help you. We try and teach the same biblical concepts from the same stories each week, from the adults all the way down to the preschool. Who heard the story about David and Goliath this morning? All right, either you were not in Sunday school or your teacher taught the wrong lesson. All right, we do that on purpose because we want the dads and the moms to come home and talk about the Sunday school lesson. But more than how many stones did David have and why did he choose five stones? Who cares, right? The point of the story. Talk about the point of the story and how they apply it at school. How is dad going to apply it at work? Encourage them to apply it on the ball field. Encourage them to apply it at home. It's an aid to you. It's a help to you to help your kids grow in the Lord, to help you lead your family in growth in the knowledge of the truths of God. So growth in your spiritual life is not a matter of just knowing more about Jesus. It's not a matter of just memorizing more verses. It's not about how many Bible studies do you attend during the week. Now those things are important, but growth is about putting into practice what you already know. Jesus says, with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. And as you do so, you will gain more truth from God and grow into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And that is where it all starts. It all starts with accepting Jesus Christ. Because if you reject Jesus, then you will reject his teachings. And in rejecting his teachings, you will never know or understand the kingdom of God. Let me ask you a question this morning. Has there been a time in your life where you have said, yes, I recognize that I am a sinner, that I've rebelled against God, that my sin separates me from a righteous God? Where you have gone to God and said, I am sorry for my sin. Please forgive me for taking your love and your grace and your truth and rejecting it and turning my back on it. Thank you, O God, for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins, for taking my place. Has there ever been a time in your life where you said, I have putting my faith and my trust in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to save me from my sins, and I am submitting my full self to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He can have my life. I am dying to myself, and I am giving myself over to Him. Whatever He desires in my life, whatever He wants in my life, that's what I want. Have you ever done that? If you've never done that, then none of this makes sense. It doesn't make sense why people would give up a Sunday and come and sing and listen to some guy talk for an hour. It doesn't make sense why they would take 10% of their income and more and give it away. It doesn't make any sense why people would love their enemies, not seek vengeance. It doesn't make sense why they would serve at their own expense, at their own cost, at their own sacrifice. But when you know of Jesus and you know of the gospel and you know of the transformation that takes place in a person's heart because they give it over to Jesus, then it all comes together. It all makes sense. The Old Testament makes sense. The Ten Commandments make sense. All of the New Testament makes sense. Everything in Revelation begins to make sense because you understand who Jesus is and why He came and what His purpose was and who He is to you. Listen, salvation is more than just getting to heaven. Salvation is a surrender to Jesus, and He comes and He transforms you totally from the heart, and then He begins to work on your life. Don't you want that this morning? Don't you want to be out of the darkness? Don't you want to be out of the darkness of sin? Then let the light of the glory of God shine on you. Look to the cross. There, Jesus is hanging and paying the penalty for your sins. Look to the empty grave. For yes, He died, but 3 days later, He resurrected and He sits now at the right hand of the Father, which is our hope, defeating sin and defeating death, that when death comes or Jesus comes, we will spend our eternity with God in heaven. Yes, that is our hope. Don't you want to know Him today? Don't you want a relationship with the God who created you? In just a minute, I'm going to give you the opportunity to come and say yes to Jesus. Listen, Christian. Jesus says, you better pay attention. Listen to what I'm saying and apply it to your life. One of the things that is so important in my ministry is that you understand how to not just know what is being said, but that you apply it to your life. I see so many people in so many ministries who can say so many verses and tell so many stories, and they can be first to get to the book that they want to talk about, but they do not live it. If we're going to be salt and light in this community, then we have to live it. If you're going to grow in Christ, then you've got to apply it. God did not give us this book just to sit around and read for 5 minutes on every morning so we can check the box and say, well, yeah, I have my quiet time. I've done what God has commanded of me. He gave us this book so we would know how to live. And the only way that we are going to glorify God to the fullest extent that we can is if we take His word and we soak it up in every opportunity that we have, we apply it. In the way that we treat our spouse, in the way that we treat our neighbor, in the way that we turn in work at school, in the way that we conduct ourselves on the job site, all of that, apply it to your life. That's what God desires of you. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful that You have given us Yourself, the light of the world, the One who has come into our hearts and shown the light into the darkness, the One who died on the cross so that we could be saved, the One and only One who can give us an understanding of the kingdom of God and its truths. And we are privileged to be able to know you. And yet, Father, I know that there would be maybe one or two here this morning who would say, you know, you were talking about giving your life to Christ, talking about repenting of sin, and I have never done that. Lord, I pray for them right now. I pray that your Holy Spirit would give them courage. I pray that they would cry out to you, call on the name of the Lord, and be saved. And I pray that as you have promised, that they would understand that you, when they do that, will do a work in their life that is transformational. Transformational to the core. And then, Father, I pray for Christians. I pray for myself. And I pray that as we see these truths, that we would not take them lightly. That we would come to fully understand that what you say is what you desire for us to do. It's not a suggestion. And that as we take the truths that you give us and we are faithful to believe and trust in you and live them out in our lives, then we will gain more truth. We will gain more knowledge about you. We will, in the knowledge, gain more love of you. And we will continue to grow and grow into the likeness of Christ and therefore bring more glory to you. I pray that is the desire of every Christian in this room. And I pray that you would give them the desire of their heart. Thank you, Lord. Just a second, with your head bowed and eyes closed, we're going to have a time of invitation. And Pastor Casey is going to begin to play. And in that moment, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And if you want to be saved, I'll be standing right down front. You slip out from where you are. You come down. You tell me you want to be saved. We have counselors who will take you step by step through that process and how you can give your life to Jesus. Maybe you want to join Faith Family. God has laid on your heart. This is the place where you want to plug in, commit to, use your gifts and abilities. You come and the counselors will tell you what that process looks like. These steps are open. If you want to pray, come before God and confess. God, I haven't been applying your word to my life. God, I desire to continue to grow. Then you can come. If you want someone to pray with you, a counselor would love to pray with you. But whatever the decision is, you say yes to God. God, thank you. I pray that you give courage in this time for your glory, for your honor, and for your praise. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.